Okay, today is Sunday, May 7th, 2023, and I have to say I either am a shota or a katan, because the Gemara in Bava Batra, Nevuah today, is in the hands of shoytim and katanim. But I am very proud that I ended off my talk in Beit Shemesh, that this is all secondary. The judicial reforms, the biggest problem in Israeli society is Tzahal and the Haredim not serving. And until we solve that, we will never have a real dialogue between brothers. And I need not add any comment. Current events prove me a shoteh or a katan. Natan, did you use angel products over Shabbos? You better check not to let it into your house. Although the question has been raised, I heard them on the radio. Why do we punish angels? This man is the board of the chairman of the whole operation, but he's entitled to his own private opinion. I'll tell you, it's a good question, but what troubles me is the statements he made. You go and demonstrate and maledict a Gadol b'Yisrael. I can't help it. That's where I come from. I probably don't agree with all of the hashkafot that the Panovitch Yeshiva teaches, but they're l'shem shemayim, and there are many different approaches. I don't have a monopoly on truth, but wow. And it shows you how distant the generation is from any understanding of Torah. It's what I've said many times. Ben Gurion and Golda Meir, if you look at the pictures of their parents, you shiver and shake. Tzaddikim, 100%. So they're rebelling, but they knew what they're rebelling against. Barlev, whose father was the famous general, he was a general. He's four generations removed from any connection to Torah. And you see how ignorant, how deep the chasm is. What a challenge it is to us. But nevertheless, I stand on what I said. Until we solve the problem of Tzahal, which is both the Torah problem and a democratic problem, if Israel is a Torah state or a Jewish state within a democratic framework, either way, it's a terrible problem. Mohammed Mitzvah, etc., and democracy. And this problem, I can solve any problem. This problem, I don't have an easy solution. It has to be, if we wouldn't be so hot-headed, just leave it to time as the Haredim integrate more and more on the Israeli scene, it becomes less of a problem. I would like, and my dream is, they should draft all the Haredim and they should kick out all the Mechallel Shabbos from the army. That's my dream. I'll be halacha, but all right, I'm a halachist. I'm not a realist. Okay, enough is said. Regarding Rabbi Yeshua Grunstein and Rabbi J.J. Schachter, Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schachter's doctorate on Rabbi Yaakov Emden. So you know I have referred to the doctorate over the decades, and I've said I can't believe it will be published. I know Rabbi Grunstein writes to me. I know all about his publishing it. It's with Mossad Shazar that it's being published. And I know that my good friend, and we live door to door next to each other, wall to wall, Rabbi Dr. Professor Kami Horowitz is working with him. And I still await to see whether it will be a total English translation of the original Megillat Sefer. Chaim, you know anything, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, are you familiar with the Megillat Sefer, the original? If that is translated into English, boy, I have to bow my head and certainly can't lecture on it to a mixed audience. That's 100% sure. So I know about it. Okay. Then I just want to say that Rabbi Grunstein is correcting me. I keep on quoting the Gemara that Chaviva Labala Kishat Knisatal Lechupa, the Gemara, Nida Daflamet Aleph, famous Gemara. You need a lot more to work out a marriage. I have to plead totally innocent of the charge. Why? I've lectured on where I gave a whole year working out a marriage, and all of you have heard me say that when a couple, I think I told this to you, Natan, the key word in the marriage, the Rambam, again, I can't spend time now, Hilchat Ishit, Perek Tetvav, Halacha Yetet Chav, the key word is Psharach. I gave many drushot on that Rambam. I'm well aware, but all I'm talking with the Gemara Nida on a sexual level, I claim that if you live with Tarat Mishpacha, you have a more rewarding sexual life than Clinton, than Trump, than JFK, than all the Manuvalim who have become presidents of the United States. And I stand on that. Okay. Now I want to come back to last week's shir, and I have to show you Min HaShemayim Zachiti. By the way, Tom, you learning Mir today? So let me tell you, I just wrote a letter about Mir, proposing an idea. You can take it further. A Talmud, everyone knows that I'm very makpid to say when I mention Santa Sugi Harasei Sefer Tzadik Levracha. He saved Torah, the literature world. There'd be nothing left. There'd be Hasidish, but no, our world would be gone. Tremendous chliyot. So a Talmud sent me, they just came out with a whole song and a whole display in memory of Semple Sugihara. So I wrote back, to me the greatest display would be for me, Yeshiva, to sponsor one day of learning, shir after shir, in memory of Semple Sugihara. So that's Mir. Now, but coming back to last week's shir, I can't believe the information sent to me. Meaning, last week's shir, we got involved in a sideshow, Reb Menashe Klein, and it's really, it wasn't halacha l'maisa, but he gets involved with a malek, and this is, you can write a whole master's thesis, if not a doctorate, on a malek bisman hazeh. And are women mechuyavot, not mechuyavot, mitzvah taseh, etc. So Reb Menashe Klein gets involved in a sideshow, are women allowed to fight, to be frontline soldiers? And we got involved last week with the Rambam, the Gemara in Sota, Katan Vakala, the Rambam, and the Radbaz. And the Radbaz gives two answers. What is the Mishnah talking about? Katan Vakala, it means if there's no Katan, there's no Kala. Most Achronim, including Reb Menashe Klein, the first answer was Kaliachiyad. It's not the real answer. The second answer he got involved was logistics, that the women had to supply food, water to the chayalim, what we call logistics, not what we spoke about. You see this to be true because Nevora HaNeviyah, and Reb Menashe Klein quotes all this, Devorah HaNeviyah, when Barak comes to her, Barak is hesitant to fight unless Devorah goes out with him to battle and encourages. She says, you etc., that not you, as if to say, it's odd to bring a woman in. You see from there, that whole discussion, that a woman's not a frontline soldier. From the Gemara I quoted in Ketuvot, with giving the people who capture them ammunition, and the Gemara right away, what, women are going to shoot arrows? But it means to supply them. Again, you see logistics. All right. Bizman Hazer, the Rakafet plan for the army. Again, if you ask me lahalacha, I can't answer someone. We've opened up the gate to women. Beis Yaakov is as guilty as anyone of changing the whole circumstance of women. Men are teaching women. Women are teaching men. I'm talking in Chinuch Atzmai, I'm talking in Beis Yaakov. Women go to work. I mean, it's beyond words. Nechama Leibowitz once said to me, Nechama and I were very, very close. Whatever the reasons were, BMT, we taught together, Machon Gold, I brought her into the Kollel. And she went Friday night at Machon Gold. She says to Malcolm, myself, she says, look at Eshet Chayil. Is this what we want our daughters to be? It's against all of Tzniut, right or wrong, out in the world there. And the men are sitting and gossiping in the Shari Ha'ir. So you have to use judgment here. We can't change the clock. And, all my daughters have advanced degrees. None of them are feminists, but they all have advanced degrees, all work in their advanced degrees. I can't change the clock. My wife is going crazy now. Our latest edition, his mother went back to research, and she's postdoctorate at Weizmann, and he's already in a Ma'on. And my daughter, the grandmother, is telling us on Shabbos that this little guy, how old is he? 4 or 5 months? He's so happy in the Ma'on, and my wife is going crazy, but there's nothing you can do. So, you see, if a girl comes to me and says, Rebbe, I want to do Army, I must do Army, and she's not satisfied with Sherit Lumi, I would say to her, logistics. And today, translating logistics, it means computers, intelligence. And by the way, some of the women, and our women from our world, young girls, have saved many lives. Why? Because see, when you're watching a screen on a border, and you can get bored. And these girls were written up. They saw at the end of a few hours, they saw something change. They immediately let them know up front, and they got Machatzim coming over. So you see, you can do great things, but it doesn't interfere with Tzniut, with French line, etc. Will every girl be satisfied? No. And that's when I ended off the class. I told you the story, and you can check it out. And I remember my grandson came home shaking. He was at the Egyptian front. And he was very close to where this happened. And there were two Chayalot, frontline soldiers, guarding the border. And Mechavlin came across. So one girl ran and hid behind the tree. The other lady blew them away. Turned out the girl who hid was a chilonit from, the real Israeli high school scene. And the girl who blew them away was B'nai Akivanik. So, again, all right, we can't force. You see, this is so important in chinuch. You can't force someone into a mold. A Rebbe has to ride with the waves. I've had Talmidim became the Torah Kata and I good at Yisrael and Chadalim. I'm partially a Chadalim, but I'm more open. I'm a Talmud of the Rav, why you? I have Talmidim in Chovevei Torah, etc., etc. I have my own point of view, but I have to honor them, all right? They freedom of choice. Believe it or not, I get an article this week, as if they're listening to what I spoke about in Shia, a skirt, a wig, and a Glock 19. Do you see the women shooting? Okay, now, I have to tell you, a terrific article with the families, with the women, with the training, what they go through, and but I read the article, and I have to say, they call them Harediyot. There's only one problem. It's Chabadnikitot. It's Chabad, Rebetzin, Shluchat. Yeah. They trained. They go to shul on Shabbos with pistols under their skirt. And the article is beautiful. But I wouldn't call it Harediyot. I'll tell you why. Chabad is a world unto itself. You have to understand that. I've said this, I was way ahead of the crowd. Mark, in your time when you studied with me, in your time, I already said it then. Chabad, they look, when I was a stupid kid, 1954, remember the question I asked. Chabad, they look the same, black, beards, uniform, where are you different? I got a good answer, but that's not the point. The point is, even though they look Haredi, they are not. Chabad is a world unto itself. And the article is fascinating, but I wouldn't call it charediot, the front women who go with the gun. Now, why is it so important? And this is part of the article, and this is absolutely true. At my minyan at the Kotel, we always had two or three guns at the minyan. What's the seichel? Seichel's very simple. God forbid a terrorist comes in, the first person he's going to shoot is someone in uniform. He doesn't expect someone not in uniform to pull a gun and blow him away. Allah at kama v'kama, he doesn't expect the woman to pull a gun and blow him away. And these women say it's pikuach nefesh, the shuls in America. I need not tell you, here in Yehuda v'Shomron, many women do pack a gun. And there were many tshuvot given, plain and simple. We're living at a time where it's pikuach nefesh. And it's very important, people in civvies, and certainly women, the terrorist doesn't expect a woman to open fire. And you have the best chance to blow away the terrorist if you're there with a gun under your skirt. Okay, halacha l'maisa, let the issue hang fire. Like many other issues, it'll seek resolution on its own. But I recognize that we're not going to be able to hinder young women who do want to wear the uniform and do want to serve in the army, encourage them all the more into the units that are logistic units on a very high level. Without that, the army can't survive. Intelligence, computers, and as I told you, in my own family, my granddaughter-in-law, one of my granddaughters, she's the daughter of a student of mine. I told you, I had a student of Mechala when I was in the Israeli program. It has to be 71, perhaps. And she was the daughter of this Moroccan chief rabbi of Ar Akiva, Rav Cohn. Go and dream that her daughter would marry my grandson one day. And she was in intelligence in the army. She was a captain already, an officer, three bars. And they pleaded with her to remain. I would have advised her to remain. It's a good panosa, and you're making, but she's getting a doctor in biochemistry, she's on. And she was in intelligence. And I need not tell you, she covered her hair. I told you, I showed it to a Satma Chassid. He couldn't believe it. You know, the bars and the head covering. I said, look, this is the reality, Baruch Hashem. All right, I want to move further, and I want to come upon one of the most fascinating tshuvot you will ever see. And I don't know, it's maybe a reflection of the modern age, of the frumkeit, of the balei tshuva, I don't know how to call it, but let me start at the beginning. March 23rd, 1983, I was walking home from Mechlala. My car was parked in the Machon Leif parking lot, and in coming from Choreg, Mechlala, you know how the mountain works, Mechlala, Choreg, BMT, and Machon Leif. Coming into BMT, there were stairs. Those stairs in the mountain don't exist anymore. And I'm walking. The boys jokingly called this Malot Rakefet. In my honor, they called it Malot Rakefet. Fine. I'm walking the stairs, and they were dirty. And I slipped. And I fell. And I broke this arm, and I don't know. Believe me, it was a bad story. You know, I've told you the story with Rabbi Gustman afterwards, but that's not important now. What's important is I wind up in the hospital, they set the cast, and I come home, and I don't know if my daughter's bothered me. Check your tefillin. I give my Talmud, Marty Flummenbaum, right? He doesn't work anymore. His son took over the geschäft. I give Marty the tefillin, and he finds something with one of the aliyadacha, v'chulu. There's something the matter with one of the letters with him, and he's metakan it, and everyone says, that's why you fell, that's why you broke your hand, so you should be metakan the tefillin. All right? I don't know. Yomo would say, absolutely, say that, kibalti. Listen to this story. Mishnah Halachot Chelik Yud Zayin Siman Kuf Lamed Bet. Yud Zayin Kuf Lamed Bet. Interesting who he wrote this to, Rabbi Yehuda Shein. This is from 1998, and he's written more tshuva to this person. Memorei Tzedek Techal Techal Archaredim Lakewood. All right, and here you have to understand what happened in Lakewood, and I was there a few years ago, right before the corona, and I got a grand tour of Lakewood. I was honored by the yeshiva, but I have to tell you, Lakewood, when you say Lakewood, you think of the yeshiva. Lakewood has become a magnet for endless Haredi institutions. I don't say there's a branch of YU there. But you have Hasidish and this type of yeshiva and that type. And Lakewood itself is not a yeshiva anymore. It's like Mir. It's an umbrella under one roof. And now at Mir, for the first time, they've acknowledged formally that Rav Asher Eli is the biggest attraction there. And they opened up a special base medrash and they made arrangements. He has over 1,000 students. I'm told them are right or wrong when he gives shir. It's unbelievable. But in Lakewood, you don't have any such individuals. There are various chaburot. As you know, Mark, your son is a chabura, the graduates of Torah Moshe. It's not Lakewood in my time. Lakewood in my time was Rav Aaron Cutler, period. It's centered about Rav Aaron. If you didn't go to Rav Aaron Shia, you weren't in Lakewood. There was no one who was in Lakewood who didn't go to the Shia. How many people understood the whole Shia is a different story. Rav Yankel Shif. You had to make an appointment to talk over the shiur with him. It was an unbelievable experience, Lakewood. But today you don't have that. But all right, everyone's learning. The atmosphere, the library there, I got to tell you, Lakewood is extremely well organized, as you will see in the Monday class. So here, this person is a Rav in Lakewood, and a lady comes to him, and Rav Menashe Klein seems to know this person, and he writes to him with Acharei Drishasam Atol B'Yedidut, and what's the story? That this lady was not well, Isha Cholanit, and one of her relatives came to me and asked, "Eitza mimeni kedat ma la'asot?" And what should I do? What can we do for her? And the Rav to whom he's writing, Rabbi Yehuda Shein, by the way, do you know him? Does the name mean anything? But this is, it's a lifetime ago, it's 30 years ago. So Rabbi Yehuda Shein figures, look, one of the great mitzvot is a mezuzah. Laman yarichi yamecha. Maybe she should check the mezuzahs. You follow? The same reaction I had. Check the tefillin. Check the mezuzahs. And it could very well be that can be the problem. And he quotes the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lamed Bet. B'yavon mezuzah banav u'benotav meitim ktanim. And I said to her, look, tell her, he tells the relative who asked him, tell her she should go to a sofa yereisha mayim and she should see to it that she has proper mezuzot, and if not, she should get top quality on klaf kasher mu'ubad lishma u'b'chol ha'hidurim shatnitzkad. So, you know, everything, the hidurim that you can add to a mezuzah. And she goes to a sofer, takes the advice, and she pays, now remember, this is 25 years ago, $145 for each klaf. What would that be today? $300 a plus. Corona. I decided, have my tefillin checked. I went to Marty's son. I paid more for that tefillin than if I had bought a new pair, over 3,000 shekel they put in Parshiyah, the photographs. I never saw something so beautiful, all right? At my stage in life, I don't have to kvetch yet a penny. I don't have to 3,000 plus shekel just for Parshiyah put in. And they work with the tefillin, get it back. No one can believe the tefillin are 70 plus years old. $145. Okay, and here I'll quote him: "Mefatpet echadu mekatreik." And let me explain this. And this is the worst part of life: people gossip. People just look to make tzarot. I can tell you, I had one Talmud I was very close to. He married a girl from a Satmar background. And I know who her father was and the relationship with the Satmar Rav. And in Shir, I praised her father. I said when the Satmar Rav came to his city, he would stop all his work, all his business, and pay the Satmar Rav, give him a donation for the privilege of being his Baal Agola. That's the expression I used. It's a rabbinic expression. Rabbanim came into the city, the Balabatim went out and laid down on the ground and had the Rav ride on their backs into the city, the Shokavarateya. So one animal, one idiot in this city listens to the Shir, and he tells the lady, oh, they made such fun of your father, we called your father a Balagola, and he plays the tape for her. Well, she told her husband, if he ever speaks to me again, he's dead. Capital D-E-A-D. And draw your own conclusions. That's people, mefakpei. Mechilit, lashon hara, cause sichsuchim. It's a soap opera. Watch a place to call home, the Australian soap opera. Watch it. You'll see the old lady, the gossip, what goes on, the problems it causes. And this is why Rechilt and Lashon Hara are prohibited. So one guy said to this lady, what are you, crazy? $145 a piece? This is what the rabbi sent you? And I can get you beautiful mezuzah sheirot lachatchila for $40. And she wants to sue whoever gave her this advice. They're telling her he owes you $95, $100, $105 for every mezuzah you bought. You could have gotten cheaper. What did this man do to you? All right, this is the question. Fascinating question. It's, how would you handle it? I mean, where do you have precedence for this? Where do you have? Whoever heard? You got, she recovered, she feels better. She's walking with cane, she's getting things done. She's out of bed. And this Lashon Haranik creates the whole problem. They're mad at the rabbi, they're mad at the relative. What kind of advice? What kind of cipher? Where did you take me? Hefsid Meruba, etc. Okay. This is the question. Now, first of all, very fascinating Gemara, Kiddushin Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. Let me give you the source of the Gemara and what the Gemara is talking about. It's something that you all know, but we don't pay attention to it unless we have the Gemara in front of us. Kriyat Shema, the first chapter in Kriyat Shema, the Ahavta. So look what comes. V'shinatum levanecha v'dibatum bam v'shiftecha b'vaitecha v'lechtecha b'derech b'shafecha v'kumecha u'kshatem li'ot al yadecha v'hayu letotafot b'neinecha u'kshaftam al mezuzot b'vaitecha v'shirech. We have three mitzvot, one after another. Number one, Talmud Torah, v'shinatum levanecha. Number two, tefillin. Ukshatam liot al yadecha v'chayu letotafot b'neinecha ukesavtam al mezuzot beitecha uvisharecha. That's in the first chapter. Go to v'chayim shemoa. Ukshatam otam liot al yadchem v'chayu letotafot b'neinechem v'limadetem otam et b'neichem ledaber bam. And then ukesavtam al mezuzot beitecha uvisharecha. So you see, tremendous question here. What do you compare mezuzah to? Do you compare mezuzah to tefillin? Or do you compare mezuzah to Talmud Torah? If you compare it to tefillin, tefillin's a mitzvah taseh shazman grama. Then a woman shouldn't be mechuyevet in mezuzah. They're both in the same category. If you compare it to Talmud Torah, so there are many sources that Talmud Torah gives us life. If Talmud Torah gives us life, I'm paraphrasing the Gemara. What, a woman doesn't need life? She also needs life. Well, if she needs life, then she's chayevet in a mezuzah. L'man yaricha yamecha. It adds to life. And this is the Gemara. Once you know the psukim, you can see the Gemara is very simple to follow. I'll just give you the heart of the Gemara. Kedushin daf lamed daled omid aleph. And the Gemara says, V'nakish tefillin le'mezuzah. Our answer is tefillin le'Talmud Torah it kish. Bein b'pasha rishona. Bein b'pasha shniya. Tefillin le'mezuzah b'pasha shniya lo it kish. V'nakish mezuzah le'Talmud Torah lo sakadaitcha. Tektiv laman yibu yemechem gavrei boe chaya nishay lo boe chaya. In other words, we're trying to avoid making mezuzah exactly like tefillin. And the fact that Talmud Torah intervenes makes it possible to say mezuzah is not exactly like tefillin. A woman needs life. Men have many mitzvot. Talmud Torah gives them life. Hayenu v'orech yameinu b'hem nege yomam v'layla. But a woman doesn't have Talmud Torah. You want to totally take all mitzvot away from her? She needs life too. And if that's the case, she is chayevet in mezuzah. And there's no question that the nicer the mezuzah, the better it is. And the advice you gave her is not detrimental. It's hida mitzvah, but it's for the good of the woman. Okay. That's one source. Yeah. And you'll see he elaborates, quotes the Gemaras, and it shows how important Talmud Torah is. And if this is the case, then she can have no complaint. The better the mezuzah, the greater the fulfillment of the good mitzvah, the greater the arichat yamin. Okay. Then he gets involved with something very fascinating. Mark, how much did you spend on an etrog this past Sukkot? Think back. All right, you buy etrogim. There's here in Israel. All right, my children get for me, but you get an etrog, 50 shekel, 100 shekel. I remember one time when I was much younger, and it was going Erev Yontif with my son-in-law. Let's see what we can get at Rogan. I remember coming to one place, beautiful at Rogan, in the Meisharim area, and 200, what would be today, 200 shekel. And we say, but it's Erev Yontif. He says, I don't give a hoot. It'll turn into a lemon tonight, true. But if you want it, it's 200 shekel. So, all right, depends how wealthy you are. Right or wrong, some people tell me they spend 500 shekel on an etrog. Depends how wealthy you are. And here he has a point, and he says, how can she complain? When someone is sick, don't you try to go to the top doctor? Money is never a factor. Chaim, in my own life, just recently, someone dear to me, precious, well, the regular doctors, you want to be sure you're getting the right prescription, analysis. We brought in an expert from Hadassah. Assistant, we recommended to us. Interesting individual. Oh boy, Elliot, guy walks in with a beard, a big black kippah. Where were you raised? Muncie. Guy finished high school, he barely knew how to read. Came to Israel, I don't know what happened to me. He married a young girl, he said she was 17 when he married her. She turned him into a big religious Zionist, a chadalnik. I think he has 6 children. He went and he's got to be a doctor, got to contribute to the Israeli situation, the Israeli people. He's a brilliant guy. Accepted to Hadassah. He had to fill in one course in science. He had some phony college degree. Today, all the yeshiva, I pressed late with the, I see advertisements, how to get them on the internet, the all different degrees, the one in Florida, the one in Washington, Yeshiva Gavoha, Ibn Shalayim. As my late friend, Derwin Shapiro, big board of trustee man, YU, he said, YU gives you an education. Says these other places give you a degree. All right, not a bad thought, not a bad thought. So and how do we know this guy? In medical school, member of the same class was my daughter's partner's son, the great-grandson of Rabbi Yaakov Messen, the Kehilat Yaakov. You know who the Kehilat Yaakov was? You familiar with a wonderful volume from Washington Avenue to Washington Street? He's the man who redeemed that baby on January 1st. Pigeon Haben, 1938. This is his great-grandson. A genius. And he says, no one in the class is better than this guy. And today's assistant head, he's an expert in old people. What do they call it? There's a word. What word?
Geriatrics.
Geriatrics, right. Old people. Geriatrics. And we pay heavy money. Brought him in. And he made a suggestion that was fabulous. All the other doctors, the neurologist, the GP, you care about the money? Elliot, I had a miracle. I got back 3/4 from the YU insurance that we have here. You follow? I couldn't believe it. Found money, because I didn't have it. Ben Shalom, it helps. What? You go for the top doctor. You pay a fortune. You search around. For Menashe Klein, his insights into life are fabulous. You see, he's a man. I never met him. I met him on the screen on YouTube. I had to meet him, and I saw him. He's giving a lecture to Balei Tshuva in Israel in Ramat, and it was very moving. All right, I get moved. I admit I'm emotional, but it was very moving. Beautiful, beautiful. And the way the Balei Tshuva look at him. And when he didn't know the word in Hebrew, he would say it in English, and they would pick Hebrew word. But he has insight into life. You can't argue with him. He's right. He's absolutely right. I have no right to say one bad word. So I spent more than 3,000 shekel on pashiyot for tefillin. Be happy. They gave me, printout, scanning, the tefillin, the ketav. Wow. He's absolutely right. Tefillin, mezuzah. Okay. So not only that. He goes further and he says, I can't believe this part. Computers. Varaya heviliats mombi computers omachonit. And he writes computer balaz, car balaz. And you see, first of all, it shows you that 25 years ago, no one was conducting a campaign against computers. Follow this? This all began years later. I mean, computer was revolutionary, the knowledge it has. But I imagine the schmutz didn't come out. How would you know about it? I mean, I've been using a computer now since my Talmud, Reb David Katz, my Rebbe in the Kollel, said, Rebbe, disgrace, you know how to use a computer? It's about 15 years ago. And he works for Sutton, by the way. He's second to Niedenberg in their public relations. And he's Niederman. Thank you. And he's a regular YU guy. He lives in West Hempstead. And a regular YU guy. He's second in public. I have many Talmud, the head of, I told you, psychological. Remember I told you, Alan Blau, my Talmud. He's the head of all psychological help, etc. I probably have more Talmud than working for Satma. And anyway, computer. Tell me, when you go to buy a computer, what are you buying? The better. The better the computer, the larger the screen. At my age, the larger the screen. Do my grandchildren put programs on for me? My wife, always on my computer, has a larger screen. My wife has something smaller. And you buy a car? Why the devil are you going to afford a car? My grandchildren are upset with the jalopy I drive. All right, I have no need to show off. And as when I was seriously considering getting a new car, my grandson said, Saba, forget it. You'll never master all that's involved with the new car. I said, Baruch Hashem, I'm still having hit 30,000 kilometer in my car, which is 10 years old. This year I hope I'll hit 30,000, Bezrat Hashem. But Rabbi Menashe Klein, he is so real here, down to earth. What, are you going to complain if you get a better car, you get a better computer? So you got a better mezuzah. What are you complaining about? Why are you causing angst nefesh? What are you going to the Rav? What are you demanding a refund? And then he goes into the whole question of the etro kamavazbeis. How much do you have to spend? Hamavazbeis al yavazbeis yotem michomish. But there you can give a whole shiur. What does it mean yotem michomish? Yotem michomish that a good etro is 500 shekel. If I'm willing to spend 100, raise it up another fifth. Well, no, it means Alivas Beis Yotemi Chomesh. I have money in the bank. I have a pension plan. I have money invested here, there. Put it all together. Wow, you have an apartment in Jerusalem. Immediately, you're a millionaire. There's no such thing as an apartment today under $1 million. I mean, it's beyond words. What the little apartment I have, I describe it as one big room with three matchbox bedrooms. What that apartment is worth. I thank God I had enough cycle to buy it in October 1969, and you didn't even understand what I'm saying, because after I bought it and signed, we were waiting for the mortgage from Oleh Chadash, and the Kablan who built it offered me 5,000 lira profit to rip up the contract and let him sell it. And amazing that enough seichel, if he wants it back, don't you dare get rid of it. Gone. Well, Mark, you have an apartment, you're worth over $1 million. An etrog, al yivaz beis yotem michomesh. It means 1/5 of your money. You follow me, Chaim? It's like, holy, home machlokes mishayim. But halacha lemaisa, halacha lemaisa. What does he say here? That you're complaining? Look at the beautiful mitzvah. Look at the level that the mitzvah is on. Look what it does for you. Don't complain. And he goes further. And here's a Ramban. You know, Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, when asked, if you were on a desert island, what sefer would you take? So I thought right away, if anyone asked me, I said the Rambam. I showed you in my office, in the closet. I carried on the boat when we came in Aliyah, a little set. At that time, it was a four-volume set of Shas. That was the best you could do. And the five volumes, the Rambam. Today you have much smaller, but that, and I carried that on, that was with me in the rabbinate, with me in my classroom, with me on the boat, now in my office. So, all of these Sfarim, you'd think, what are you going to take? Rabban said, no, the Ramban. And he, in his lectures in a lunch book, the Ramban. Now, I'll tell you, there's no question that the Ramban is very unique because he combined, first of all, Lamdis, Rabbi Sazama Meltzer put out the Chidushei HaRamban on Shas. I remember Rabbi Yosef Weiss saying to me, I had great Rebbeim, so Rabbi Yosef saying to me, I don't know where he gets the time. How did he have the time to edit? Now I'm much older, I can tell you his wife probably played a role in editing it. She is Rebbetzin Hinda Bela Frank Meltzer. She was a big melumedet. But where does he get the time? But you see, the Ramban, halacha, philosophy, pashanut, kabbalah, dashanut, all in one person. And here I want to show you a very interesting Ramban that Reb Menashe Klein quotes. Let me give you the source. It's, one second. Shmot, Perik Yud Gimel, Pasuk, let's get it right, Pasuk Tet Zayin. L'tatafot b'inenech, I repeat the Ramban to Shmot, Pasuk Ba, Perik Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Bet. And he's dealing here with tefillin, dealing here with mezuzot, and he says, why are these mitzvot so important? I'm paraphrasing the Ramban, there's an arichat here, but I'm paraphrasing and summarizing. Look, if the world, if we would all be believers, you wouldn't need so many mitzvot, so many symbols to remind you who you are. But klal gadol betam mitzvot rabot, hinei me'et chayot avoidet gigulim biolam bimei enosh het chelu hadei otli hishtrabesh biemuna. He goes on and on. I'll tell you what this means. We're living in a world where idol worship has conquered the world. And, well, you know, people wonder, why Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What does that mean today? It's very simple.
It's on a billboard on the highway.
It's what? The air is beautiful. Who put it up?
I don't know.
Very nice, very nice. You see, there's so much anti-Torah. You take the woke generation, you take the progressive so-called. Who would ever dream that a girl can declare at the age of 17 she's a boy? I mean, it just, think, you know, and we're brainwashed. My wife, let me tell you, I have no muscle. The head of the Orthodox Homos Lower Lane was my student, sitting right in this classroom. It wasn't here, it was on the other side of the building, before they rebuilt it for the Abraham program. I'm going to mention his name. My daughter asked me about him yesterday, what became of him. I said, recently he's quiet. I think he's with Chovavei. The head of the Orthodox, the feminists, let's not even mention names, he's also my student. All right, with her I understand there was a tragic situation with a maneuver who raped her sister and complained to her, and this lady is a Shomeret Shabbat. I can tell you absolutely, when she married another woman, late night, it was the wedding of the week in the New York Times. And yeah, we this is like normal. Like normal. Lesbians, homos, transgender, I mean, these are words I never knew growing up. It's more than that. Chil Shabbos. It was totally normal. I've often said, you've heard me say it over the generations, does it bother you when a car stops on Shabbos? I know when I walk on the street and I see a Jew switching on the car, it hurts me. I'm very proud. I have one grandson. And we were talking about it yesterday on Shabbos. And we were all, and this kid was not the easiest kid to raise. He and his brother were twins. Each one. And, wow, how they turned out. And he modala kadosh baruch hu. So my daughter, before Corona, when the last few years, she brought all the children together. We rented a place in Tel Aviv in a hotel, right near the Savoy Hotel, which was blown up. Begin the 70s, that's where Begin hid. An interesting hotel. Around the corner is a big shul that one time was packed. I made the minyan that Shabbos. So we were there Shabbos. And everyone from the family, Kulam, Shleiman, the Urayim, and outside on the beach, all Sabbath, back and forth, Sabbath, Sabbath, Sabbath. No, my grandson, I will never come back to such a place to see such Chilul Shabbos with his kid. I said, we were talking proud, we all said we're proud of him. But you see, we take for granted. Tell me, has anyone proposed in Israel all highways should be shut down on Shabbos? You don't even start to think that way. So you see, the Ramban here is so powerful. Anything we can do to show there's a God, to show their mitzvah, it all helps fight the Avodah Zara, very powerful Ramban. Now, I want to tell you, I have to be honest with you. I'm honest with myself and honest with my students, you know that. See, this makes a very strong case. Chaim, you asked me about Lavush. I spoke about it Monday. First time anyone asked me about it. There's absolutely no tradition for Lavush. Are you dressed like the Ramban? At the Kotel, you see people that call it Jerusalem Syndrome. You heard what I said Monday this year, so you know what I'm saying. Jerusalem Syndrome, they're walking around like Avraham Avinu. But the portable ghetto quoting Rakefet, he has a copyright on it, makes a lot of sense. You're saying, I'm a Jew. I'm not falling for that baloney that's all around me. All right, I don't have to apologize. I'm wearing the kippah. That tzitzit. Again, I don't want my tzitzit out. I grew up, who would tzitzit out? It was considered arrogant. The svadim until today don't wear their tzitzit out. It's that whole thing with the Mishnah Berurah, etc. But the Ramban, very powerful, beautiful, makes sense. And here he talks. Here he talks. Kol ki yotze ben mitzvot rabat zeichel etziat mitzrayim v'kol liyot b'chol hadarot eidut b'movzim shelo yishtakhu v'lo yiyye pitchom peh l'kofer l'achish emunat ha'elohim. I'll go further in one moment, but that's very powerful. That there's a God, that the miracle, our survival. I met a very famous doctor, one of the heads of the department at Shaare Tzedek. I know him many decades. He's from South Africa. And he must be my age. He's not in the best of health. My walking ability is not in the best of health. But we met walking. I'm walking with my wife, and he was walking alone with his sticks. And he says, oh, the Steve family, the Amuna, I mean the father, the survivor, the widower, who can believe how strong this man is? Lost his wife, two children, and he was interviewed, and they blew away the terrorist, and he spoke so beautifully, with such faith. So the doctor, this world-famous professor, says to me, I wish my Amuna would be on his level. So I said to him, look, not of all of us can achieve that level, and I hope we'll never be tested. But the fact that you and I can meet on the streets of Yerushalayim, you a Litvak via South Africa, me a Litvak via America, and we believe and live and sanctify God's name, the Jewish people, this is the greatest proof. See? We're alive. This is the Ramban. And it makes a very powerful case. All right? The Lubavitcher Rebbe in America waved the Shtreimel. Remember, I lectured on it with the whole story. And Satmar Ruv insisted. And by the way, they say in Satmar, the Shtreimel was not that popular like it became in America. Just the opposite. But you see, the Shtreimel makes a statement. We're different. We're not part of the general culture. And here's the high point of what he quotes from the Ramban. You're sitting? It's like the Ramban is dealing with this tshuva. Ki hakone mezuzah, bezuz echad, v'kavol v'pitchol v'netkavein binyana, kva hoda b'chidish olam, u'b'yediat haborei v'hashkachato, וגם בנבואה והם מין בכל פינות התורה. Wow. And it's unbelievable. One mezuzah. How much does it cost? You put it up. What that mezuzah tells us. The man yericha yomechans. All part. Wow. Eidut nemana. That there's a God. That there's history. That they're Jewish people. That's a mezuzah, and he goes on and on the Ramban. Chiddush Olam, Yediyat HaBorei, Hashkachato, the Nevuah, and Milvad Shehoda Shechesed HaBorei Gadol Ma'od Al Osei Ratzono Shehotziyah Me'od Me'oto Avdut L'Cheirut. And all this is a Jew. It adds to God's presence in the world. And Amart, you can go on and on, the Ramban here, unbelievable, powerful. And Halavaya, I'll tell you, this Ramban, he goes on, more and more the problems that we have in the world, the ideology, I would say the woke generation, bring it down to today, and this is an answer. Sheyit pasem hadavar l'chol ha'umot shehu me'et Hashem. And this is our answer. And he ends off beautifully. V'yomar b'kiyum v'ra'u kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yaru mi'necha. And I need not tell you, give me 1 second to see the pages are right. I need not tell you, this was the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I mean, again, you have to relive the period to understand what I'm talking about. But until 67, Lubavitch was unique to Crown Heights and a few places in the world. How many people heard of Lubavitcher Rebbe? Again, a small percentage. Maybe in Holyoke, did they hear of the Rebbe before 67? Massachusetts, Holyoke.
Yeah, Springfield, Rabbi Edelman.
Yeah, you had Rabbi Edelman in Springfield, that's correct. And he is unique, because at Chrono Lavracha, he was, they say, the greatest shluch that Lubavitch ever produced, his influence. But few and far between.
Not from Shlomo Kalba?
Shlomo Kalba, again, low-key, limited. And then came the Six-Day War. See, what happened in the Six-Day War, and I lived it, it's living history for me. Nasser went into the Straits of Tehran. There was like a 3-week period from the time he went in till the war broke out. And those 3 weeks, everyone was called up, tremendous tension, and the Rebbe said, we have to start the Tefillin campaign. Why? V'rokat gemar in brachat. What does it mean? V'ro'u kemeretz g'shem Hashem nikra lecha, Tefillin shel rosh. So if every Jew puts on Tefillin, the enemy will fear us, will be frightened, will be successful. And that's what happened. The campaign began, and they went up and down, as they say, there are no atheists in foxholes. Every soldier who could put on tefillin. After the Six-Day War, there was one more step that Rebbe did, which we have to thank him until today. The Kotel was opened on Shavuos. That's when Jews were allowed to go. And I still read memoir literature. I wasn't here yet. But I walked to the Kotel Friday nights with people who would relive Shavuos of 1967. And the next day, the Rebbe had tefillin stands at the Kotel. And then the big machloket broke out, you know, the anti-religious, lo aleinu Jews or the ignorant Jews. Let me watch what I'm saying. I'm talking about the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He would be upset with me if I say anti-religious. The ignorant Jews, so they fought. The Kotel is not something religious, it's archaeological. But it was too late, because the tefillin stands were already operating. So you see, that put the Rebbe on the map, but the tefillin, the Kotel, it's testimony that we exist, that God exists, that the Jews exist, that Torah exists, that all this ideology is not going to conquer us, because Rat Hashem. And this Ramban, very powerful, and exactly true, because everything we do as Jews, and today I have to say, we have come a long, long way. Look, bring me a proof from Shabbat. The whole world knows that the chief rabbi and the president of Israel couldn't drive to the coronation. They walked. The whole world knows that the king put up the chief rabbi in his own home. And you see, the New York Times, and the Rav said this, I quote Rakefet, quoting the Rav, in my work on the Rav, and they asked the Rav, what's your opinion with Chabad putting on tefillin, standing on street corners? And the Rav said, you know, well, Litvak, we wouldn't do that, but Chabad has done great things. And the Rav stressed what Chabad did, it put Yiddishkeit into the mainstream of the Western world. And today, you take the New York Times, they don't only quote Reform, they have to quote Orthodox. And they have to deal with the President of the United States who has something 3 million American Jews don't have. Trump has grandchildren who are Shema Torah and Mitzvah. Shema Shabbos grandchildren. Wow. Very hard for the New York Times to swallow that. Kashrut, Shabbat, Tarat Mishpacha. And this is the Ramban. Very, very positive. What we do. And you got to think about it. As I've said more than once, you know, I'm quoted, if a kid goes back to America, what's going to keep him from is a black hat. He should have two black hats, not one. But you see, the black hat shows you Kizera Eva Kadesh. And this is the Ramban, very powerful. Okay, now I want to go one step further. He's very down to earth. And what I'm talking about here, it's, again, a topic that you could easily do a PhD. Doctoral dissertation on. One second. Let me wet my vocal cords. Yoma, what was decided? It's coming through good, the sound, or it's still a problem?
It's not perfect.
Not perfect.
Why Torah sound is perfect?
Why Torah is perfect? Because it's recording on here. Baruch atah Adonai Melech Olam she'kol nehi b'dvaro. Okay. This is an interesting problem. First of all, let me show you the Gemara. Gemara Psachim Daf Nun Amid Bet. Tanu Rabbanan. Kol Tvei Svarim Tfilin Umezuzah Tein V'Tagreichem V'Tagrei Tagreichem V'Chol Ha'oskin B'Melechet Shemayim La'atsui Mochrei Tchelet Ein ro'im siman bracha li'olam. V'yimos kin l'shma ro'im. What a statement. Anyone who writes Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah, anyone who sells it, people who distribute it, don't have any bracha from their money. They're not going to make a good income, and if they make a good income, it will be lost in bad investments. If they do it lishma, then they will succeed. And even people who sell tchelet, here in Israel we have tchelet tzitzit aliyot, not going to see a bracha. What's it talking about? What does it mean? And this Gemara is very powerful. When it comes to Tashmishei Kedusha, a person should not overcharge. If anything, we should sell as cheaply as we can to make it widely available. I need not tell you, this is in the news all the time, the cost of living. And it's not just Svarim, Tefillin, Mezuzot, it's much more. And here we come to, you come to the Sherot Shivet Semach Tzedek. By the way, when I say Sherot Shivet Semach Tzedek, I'm referring to the first. You know what I'm talking about? The Tzemach Tzedek Krachmal. the Krachmal, not Schneerson, not Lubavitch. They're two famous collections of Shelet and Tshuva. They both have the same name, the Tzemach Tzedek. One was the latter one is the more famous because it was the third Lubavitcher Rebbe. And everyone knows the Tshuva, the Tzemach Tzedek, they immediately say the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Tshuva of Rav Krachmal were about 100 years earlier, and they're from the greater Germany area, and they're very important, Shelet and Shuvat, revealing the problems of that era. But one of the problems was very simple. Al pi Kabbalah Hasidish, if you don't eat fish on Shabbos, it's not a real Shabbos. Why are fish so important? The Ayin Hara lo sholetet b'hem. How do we know that, Matan, that the Ayin Hara lo sholetet b'hem? They survived the flood. The fish survived the flood. They had no problem. So fish becomes very important. So at times, the fishmongers, I hope it was Goyim, came up with the idea, raise the price on Thursday, the Jews will have to pay a lot more for fish. Reb, the first Tzemach Tzedek has a famous tshuva, and by the way, you can see this in English in Treasury of Responsa by Solomon B. Freehoff. This is one of the tshuva he translated into English, that a cheirim was issued, no one is to buy fish for Shabbat. Wait until the price comes down, and when the Rabbanim will be pleased with the price that has come down, that's when they'll permit you to buy fish for Shabbat. Now, this story has been repeated many times. Here in Israel, a number of years ago, again, time fades into one, I don't remember, was the 80s, the 90s, the price of etrogim shot up. The Gerer Rebbe said, in Ger, if the price continues to be high, I'll be the only one to buy an etrog, and every chassid will be yotzei with my etrog. Matana, I'm not lahachzir, but at the time it's yours, it's kulo shel chavala kachtam lachem biyom harishon. You're all familiar with the literature on this. And you follow? That's a cherim on an etrog, talking fish. You can go on and on. I would imagine if they're serious about the cherem against angels, there'll be a problem. How can Berman suddenly supply 30% more of their produce so they can issue? As far as I'm concerned, issue a statement, only matzah can be used for lechem mishnah. So much matzah is thrown out after Pesach. I myself had too much already left over a year ago this year. Remember, I put out matzah downstairs. I saw other people put out matzah. So much matzah, I have enough matzah. If they issue a cheirim against buying angel challahs, Baruch Hashem, my wife will have to put up with me and enjoy the matzah. Ein brera, but you see, there's the shuk, Torah. These are concepts, cost of living. We have guidance. That's what I said when you have this whole debate about reform of the judicial system. And some of my own students are foolish enough to say, but Rebbe, we can't compare ourselves to the United States. They have a constitution. The answer has to be, and we have a constitution. Torah Hashem, Shas, Poskim, Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebal Peh. We have a constitution. And so Rabbi Nasha Klein quotes this Gemara, and this is called in rabbinic Hebrew, Isur Hafkaat Sha'arim, to raise the price. Kama Matsinu Shegasru Shelo Lakachet Dagim V'Yetrogim Ad Sheyishru Hamechir. And he says the same thing with the cost of tefillin, mezuzot, sifrei Torah. I hope that the price has not been raised unfairly. I hope that the $145 was a fair price for what was put into it, how it was produced, a fair market price, even if it's high. And that's its Tshuva LaHalacha, very fascinating, reveals today's world, computers, cars, the insight, the drogim, fish, Erev Shabbos, and Alashin Haranik, who crosses all the Akmas Nefesh, Mefat Fate, he calls them, and that's exactly the word, Alashin Haranik. What are you getting involved? What are you causing problems? The woman recovered, so she has beautiful mezuzah, so she could have gotten cheaper. So what? You can buy better cars and less expensive cars. Computers, who knows what they can do, and simple computers. Beautiful tshuva. The next problem he deals with is also to this Rabbi Shine in Lakewood. It's 1993. And what's amazing is, it's right in the headlines of our religious life in Israel today. Now, a little bit of background. And we said this in our Monday class a few years ago. If someone were to wake me up in the middle of the night and ask me, Aaron, what's the greatest achievement of Torah in the United States? Chaim, why did I say the middle of the night? The Rav always used to say that. Why? And he explained, the middle of the night, you have no defense mechanisms. It's going to be purely what you really think. If I ask you in the middle of the day, you're going to wonder, well, I don't want to embarrass me, I don't want to embarrass that, I don't want to embarrass why you, etc., etc. The middle of the night, Sakman Dems, the truth. The greatest achievement in the United States is the OU Kashrut. You would have known. There would have been yeshivat willy-nilly, no matter what. Mikvot, no matter what. Shuls with mechitzat, all right, no matter what. Kashrut, what an achievement. And where does it begin? It began 100 years ago. Kashrut in the United States, they brought over one of the great rabbanim in Europe to become chief rabbi of New York, Rav Yaakov Yosef, Talmid Muvhak of Rav Yisrael Salanter, Talmid Chacham, and a great, great public speaker, which they figured would play well with the immigrant community on the Lower East Side. But there's one problem. You have to have kosher food. And everything in New York was disorganized. You had no real control. So Rabbi Yaakov Yosef attempted to set up a system of kashrut. I don't want to repeat my lectures, but you got to wake up to understand what the shaila is here. He had to charge one extra penny per chicken for the plumber that was put on, because they had mashkichim who had to be paid. Now, unlike life today, at least in Israel, it could be in America, I don't recall properly, in Israel, meat is considered a greater luxury than chicken, than turkey. At that time, 150 years ago, 40 years ago, chickens were considered a greater luxury than meat. So the tax was put on the chickens, not on the meat. You follow? Oh, there was a tremendous outcry. The Vidovitz, the Musk of a Rav, you're taking away my parnasa. This outcry, that outcry. Ultimately, RJJ becomes powerless in America, has a stroke. The last 7 years of his life are horrendous. A man who was brought over with such coveted dignity is bedridden and just the source of endless machloket. You will know that his funeral, like Minas Shamayim, when they had to go across the bridge to Brooklyn where he's buried, Ho Company, H-O-E, all Italians, Irish, and they made screws and nuts and nails, all types of out of you know, metal. And when they saw these Jews carrying the coffin and thousands of Jews walking behind it, they started throwing down metal at them. Hatred, a riot broke out. The Jews were arrested. Goyim were let free. After that, there was a big investigation, and it cleaned up the New York police force. There's never really been anti-Semitism again at that level. You might have an individual here and there, but not organized, not to let the Goyim free and arrest Jews for fighting back. Very sad. That was his funeral. Now, right after his funeral, I think it was even during the Shiva, the Agudas HaRabbanim was formed. And you had these Rabbanim who gave Hechsherim and were paid by the Balabas, who owned the plant, who owned the store. He paid them for the Hechsher. My dear students, how can you give a Hechsher if you're being paid to give it? It means you are prejudiced. You're not going to do anything to upset the apple cart because money is involved. And this goes on no matter what you will do, no matter what you will say, no matter how pious you will be. HaKesev Ya'aneh Et HaKol. And you're subject to the Balabas. I mean, this is the greatest problem with the Hechsher. You can't be free. You can't say the truth. What do you do if there's a delivery of non-kosher meat, which could have been an accident, and the Balabas uses it, and it's being sold, and what are you going to come out? You're going to lose your job. You're going to close him down, and you're going to lose your job. The OU comes along, and Rebbetzin Goldstein, it's Harry Fishel's daughter, who deserves all the credit. She was married to Rabbi Herbert S. Goldstein, one of my teachers of homiletics. I'm Zeicher, all these great names I mentioned, I taught their descendants, Baruch Hashem. So Rabbi Goldstein, his wife, eggs him on, and she says, "You're giving a hechsher on sunshine crackers. You remember sunshine crackers in Israel? I just bought, it's exactly sunshine crackers made here, taste even better. Can I inherit the baked goods here? It tastes very well." So, and it's exactly like sunshine crackers. There was a red one and a blue one. One had salt, one didn't have salt. You follow? Here too, in Rami Levi, you can buy with salt or without salt. Rami Levi's for pennies, sunshine crackers. So she told her husband, "You're giving a hechsher on sunshine crackers. You don't take any money." He didn't take any money. He didn't need it personally. He didn't have to take any money. It's Harry Fishel's son-in-law. Harry Fishel was one of the greatest balabatim that we ever had in the United States. The stories are legendary. And everyone who knew him, I still knew people who knew him, they say all the stories you hear about Harry Fishel multiplied by two. Not divide by half, but multiply by two. Actually, you can check it out. There's a house he built, the whole building. I think it's on Park Avenue. And he lived on the second floor. On the second floor, you will see, there's the building. It ends. The second floor, that room, nothing is on top of it. There are another 20 stories. Nothing is on top of that one floor, that one room on the second floor where he lived. You know why, Mark? It was a sukkah, and he didn't want anything covering his sukkah. So his wife said to Rabbi Goldstein's daughter, said to her husband, give it over to the OU and let them start a public heksha where no money will be involved between who you're giving the heksha to and the rabbi. It'll be on a much higher level. And that's the way the OU began. And you have no idea what a great achievement this is. That you, now it's all over the world. You can travel and you can find kosher products. I know this, Al Basari Achsana, we were in the Cairns, Australia, the other end of the world, in this big hotel, and I'll tell you the story after class, I just want to bring it to a certain point. But here we are, nowhere, Jews, when Jews, opposite Japan, where the Australian Navy is based. And across the street is a big supermarket. Bagels from Melbourne with Heksha. Haagen-Dazs from France with an OU. Jelly with the Heksha. Peanut butter with the Heksha. Unbelievable. And this all began with Sunshine crackers. Then they had their big breakthrough with Heinz. And once you had Heinz, other big companies saw, wow, it's worthwhile. Ultimately, it's not only the kosher Jews who buy. It's the Jews, the Muslims, anyone who can't have milk. They know right away that as part of a product will not have milk. And then they're middle class people who think if it's kosher, it's more healthy, it's cleaner. You follow? And that's all over the world today. And all the statistics show that more kosher products are bought by non-Jews than by Jews. And this is the way it began. Now, Rav Menashe Klein, Chelek Yud Gimel, Siman Kuf Chaf, Chelek Yud Gimel, Siman Kuf Chaf, has this exact question. Can you be somech on a mashkiach when he's being paid by the people he supervises? And this takes us right back to Natan, where you come from, Muncie, with the tremendous scandal. What is it, 20 years ago already? To me, it's only yesterday. I mean, believe it or not, the scandal, he comes down and he befriends me. I didn't know who he was. Later I had to deal with a very delicate shayla in my shul. They wouldn't give him an aliyah. And he said, I did tshuva, show the letter, and they came and asked me what to do. And that's the answer I gave. It was very simple. What he did is a dual sin to God and to your fellow man. Has he paid back all the people who had to throw their dishes out, had to throw their dishwasher out, had to throw their oven out? When he shows you he paid them all back, then we can talk about he did shiva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anyway, he remarried here and moved away. But he still needed shalom. I met him twice in Machne Yehuda. Twice. And how he could do a sin like that, someone who's a Talmud Chacham, and gave a dafyomi, and a bal kore, and wearing, in accordance with the Ramban, wearing the portable ghetto, and the uniform, and the beard. And imagine in the middle of the night, moving, putting kosher wrapping and treif chickens. Unbelievable. And who was giving him hashgacha? A chassidic rebbe in Muncie. And that Rebbe felt, I can understand him, he needed a little panasa. A yid like this, kementroyerin, a Jew like this, you can trust, right or wrong. Take a look what we're talking about. So you see, this question of giving hashgacha and getting paid, can you be sumach on it? Now, here we don't have the details. I'm throwing it out. If anyone can do the research and come up with the answer. See, this is the problem. Rav Menashe Klein will refer to something that happened, but he won't give you the details. He takes for granted, you know. It's like I'm speaking now, someone's going to hear my shiur about angel's bread. What is Rakefet talking about? What is angel's bread? What's that have to do with Torah, with Shabbos, with Matzah, with Lechem Mishnah, with Yeshiva? I'm taking for granted, you know what happened on Thursday, etc., and Friday, and you saw the internet, the pictures of the stores. Rak Mishafkin Berman's, Kanoni Berman's products sold here. The pictures of all the challahs pushed out, take them back. We don't want them. I can tell you the cats had a lot of challah. Oh, the cats, C-A-T-S, had a lot of, I'm not referring to humans now, they had a lot of challahs over Shabbos. So he too. Now something here, what I gather from the tshuva, there was cheese that is being made. La Mahadun Min Mahadun, when cheese, there's always a product of enzymes. A lot has been written on this. This all goes back, you can tie this in with the gelatin question, when the enzyme, when it's pulsated and it's so totally changed that it's not the original product. Okay, and enzymes all together, it's a product, it's not part of the meat, what's its status? Now, there are many mekilim. But the Mahadrin are not Mekil. And evidently there was a production of cheese where they used non-kosher enzymes and the cheese was being sold as Mahadrin Min Mahadrin. And Jews were Makpid with Shal. And this is the Shailan. That's what he's referring to. But I don't have more details. I don't know on Google. Go on, rather go on Google. How would you type it in? Enzyme, Shaila, cheese, I don't know. Maybe, you know, other things. I know what to do with Google and I can find material. Here, I really don't know. But fascinating, this is the Shaila. And it's exactly what's happening today. The chief rabbinate and Tzohar. You know what I'm talking about? This issue. Who pays them? This is exactly in the headlines today. And here's the tshuva. And there's something in this tshuva. When I uncovered it, Chaim, I fainted. I couldn't believe it. Because bididi havi uvda, it happened to me. I quote it. No one believes me. And here, black and white in the tshuva. Wait till you see next week. So what did we do today? Number one, the Rebbe boasted that he's a shoter or a katan. All right, time will tell. But wow, right now, time is on my side. Number two, we finished that last week, and the women's shooting, very fascinating. The article is one of a kind. It's from Free Press. I don't know what that means. And I thank, again, I can't remember who sends me, whatever I get from this one, that one, we're all wonderful Talmidim, but that article, write a follow-up to last week's shiur. But there is the addendum, in my humble opinion, Chabad is not Haredim. They're not YU, they're not Haredim, they're Chabad. It's one of a kind. It's hard, you can't claim that. The women all wear shekels. The Rebbe said they wear shekels. They don't wear tichels. It's interesting. The women dress right up to date. I was at a Chabad convention. It looked like a fashion show. You follow? Beards. They wear the real Chabadikim. Wear a langa begodim on Shabbos. I mean, on the other hand, they have shoes. It's like parking lots on Shabbos. Everyone comes, parks, round the corner, mopsings. You see certain things there, but that's Chabad. Unique. Stand on street corners. Are you Jewish? Did you take lulav and etrog today? Put on tefillin. We all know that. I wouldn't stand on a street corner. You don't put on tefillin. Get the heck out of here. Smack your face. How far do I get? That's a different story. But Alik Macha, remember, I studied with the Jerucham Gerelik. The Rav wasn't like that. He was more calm. But I studied at Yerucham, Rav Neir, my Rebbeim. All right, look, you are what you are. You're influenced, and Baruch Hashem, I hope B'sach HaKol I get a good rating. But I have my problems. Chabad, did you put on tefillin? But I have to tell you, my uncle Max, I mean, remember, my mother came from a family of 6 children. The only family left Jewish in the world is from my mother. And my uncle Max went to the Kotel, and he was crying. He said, first time I put on tefillin since my bar mitzvah. All right, Zichrono Livracha, my grandparents, you know, I look back, such chashuva families, my grandmother, I'm related to all the Gedolei Yisrael, the Rosh Yeshiva of Hebron, Rabbi Revel, others, my grandfather learned in Volozhin, the reestablished Volozhin, he knew Gemaras by heart. America, I think Kashrut is all that remained. So sad. But he put on tefillin at the Kotel. My other grandparents, interesting, who my grandfather, not a Lamdin at all, he and his wife never mechallel Shabbos all the years in America. He was a baker for Pechtas. He's the one who took me to meet his boss, the foreman, and I said Shema Yisrael for him. This has to be about 43, I would say. And he gave me a quarter. You know what a quarter was then? You could have bought 13 copies of the New York Times, 2 cents a copy. Give me one more penny, I'll get you 13 copies. So, all right, that's Shem Yirachim, what we've gone through. And that's Chabad. They're a world unto themselves. But the women pack a pistol under the skirt in shul on Shabbos, just like we do here. You, the Vishomran, they're endless women. I don't know if any of my granddaughters walk with pistols. I gotta ask. I don't know. I know my grandsons. I paid for the guns. I said anyone who can qualify, Sabu pays. Baruch Hashem. And they go with them on, I thought, you know, during the week, Shabbos. Terrific. I say, cover it up, go. Yeah, so you can give a whole shiur. Are you allowed to bring a gun into the Mordechai? Allowed to bring a gun in. Okay. So then we went into the whole question of the expensive mezuzot. And finally we ended out paving the way for the first fascinating shaila we're going to do next week on Hashgacha, where the mashgiach is paid directly by the balabas. Wow. What a question. And why did Rakefet dance a kazatzker of joy in this innocent tshuva from Rabbi Nasha Klein? You won't believe what I've uncovered. Are there any questions from the erudite audience in front of me? We meet again tomorrow at 9 o'clock, and we're still with Reb Meir Shapiro. And tomorrow's shir, I show the heartache he had. I'm going to show you why you can't teach hatred of God. But I've said so many times, I don't think Meir Kahana would disagree with me. My Rebbe and Bnei Akiva, I think he would agree with me. But very important to stress this, not to teach hatred, enmity. Okay, until we meet again in health and happiness, das vidanya. Yes. Okay, are there any questions from around the world?
Recording stopped.
Any questions? Everyone is looking at me quietly, okay?
I have a question.
You have a question, yes.
Which, is there any many, is there, are there any many Farshim that say that the husband of Ish Ischayel is gossiping in the Shar.
Arite will say he just speaks in the Shar and speaks in learning. Make you feel better?
Yes.
Okay. Yomo now feels better because I've revised my words, that he sits in the Shar and they're discussing learning and politics. Is that okay? And they're discussing the reform with the Supreme Court.
I was under the impression that the Shar is a code word for a Beis Din.
No.
He was in amongst the group.
No, that's not the Pshat.
The leadership of the city.
The Pshat is that they have time to sit and discuss. It's what's called the parliament in Israel. Do you read the Alonim?
Right. It was a combination of both. This Chachmei Ha'ir, the leaders, and the judges.
It can be Divrei Torah, and it can be Inyanim Shotfim Shel Ha'ir. That's the pshat of Shah, but it's not a Beit Din. No. How would you sit in Shah with a Beit Din? A Beit Din already has to be, if it's a Sanhedrin, it has to be circular, right? A half moon. So
the
pshat, as far as I was taught, Eshet Chayil, that the men sit in a prominent place in the city where they discuss important topics. Okay, we'll put it that way. But all right, you don't like the word gossip. What was their better word? Where they speak about important topics. We use the word modern Hebrew, Beit Cafe, you follow? A Shapiro.
A forum,
exactly. The Beit Cafe, they sit around, they discuss. And if you read the Alonim, the big newspaper, it's a very good, what it teaches the children, God bless them. But Olam Katan, so when you read Olam Katan, they have a whole page on one Beit Cafe Shapiro, what they think. You follow? Then Makor Rishon every week goes to a different shopping center and interviews the people, what's on their mind. And that way you keep your hand on the pulse of Israel. But all right, Baruch Hashem, I got a letter this morning, you answered, I dictated the answer to you. So my classmate from elementary yeshiva is coming to visit Israel, he wants to settle here, and he has all types of plans. He's my age, and he was very big in Washington, D.C., and did good things for the Jewish people. And he has all his plans, what to do for the state of Israel. So among other things, I wrote back to him that it is said, if you want to become a how did I dictate it to you? If you want to become a successful millionaire in Israel, all you have to do is bring a big fortune and you'll be left with a little fortune. So I hope I calmed him down a little in his aspirations. But I give credit to someone my age who wants to live in Jerusalem, travel back to America, deal with Tel Aviv. He can help on this level, that level. Oh my. All right, Nikavele Tov, and I shouldn't have thrown a little cold water on him. But Yitzchak, I think we have to be rational, I'll put it that way. My dear students, thank you for honoring me with your presence, both in person, both on screen. Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock...
You know, Ravaran, what you mentioned about the mezuzah, I gave a series of lectures to Misrata Chutz for people who were studying at Kos Torim.
Right.
These were people who were going to work in different consuls Yadut. And when it came to the mezuzah, they all told me the same thing. These are all people with master's degrees, men and women in their late 20s, believed that it was an amulet to a custom that the Jews have to have an amulet as a good luck piece. So I brought in the next week Klafim to show them that they never knew there was anything inside.
In the mezuzah.
So you see, the Chabad is right. We are talking about ignorance, not anti.
Right.
These are people with master's degrees in jurisprudence, in government, and politics, but is zero in Yahadut.
Right. And I have to tell you, many goyim think it's an amulet, and there's where you have response literature. A goy wants you to put up a mezuzah for them. Are you allowed? Have you ever come across that question? A goy.
You could joke about that.
A goy wants a mezuzah. Are you allowed? Now, by the way, the group you address, I also addressed in the 70s. The army used to send me, these are army people going chutz laretz, are going to work in the Israeli ambassador, you know, we're consul, embassy.
Military, as they say.
Right, exactly. So I remember I gave my lecture. My lecture was on the various type of Jews you meet in chutz laretz.
But I did that also.
But a woman lectured after me. It was a whole dinner. And I was sitting there listening. I almost plopped. But she was right. She lectured on how to use a fork and how to use a knife, how you sit at the table, what you do with the napkin, savoir faire, derech eretz, which, you know, they accuse Israelis of lacking, perhaps, or maybe in the army, who can eat, you know, with all this derech eretz, how to conduct yourself at a formal dinner in chutz laretz, representing the state of Israel. So kol hakavod, a lot with all our problems here, a lot gets done. All right, Shavua Tov u'mavarach.
Rebbe, yes. Just one question. Is this a well-known lawyer who's planning on coming to Israel?
I'll tell you who he is. I once, the New York Times, again, time combines into one, fades into one. The New York Times, once in their magazine section, had a 10-page article on him, on his achievements. But his greatest achievement is he set up something in Washington to fight for Christians in Arab countries. Does that mean anything to you? And any time there was an incident where the Christians cut off the heads, the Arabs cut off the heads of their Christian Arabs, he would publicize it, and he'd get congressmen and senators to do things to condemn them, etc. So he has good credence, but you know, you come in at the age of 85 and you're going to break into the market here. It's like, think of your father coming with great ideas, and Ribbono Shel Olam, first of all, you're a newcomer. Secondly, you barely can speak Hebrew. Thirdly, you're in your mid-80s. How much energy do you have? You follow? I know, Ribbono Shel Olam, you know my schedule. I wake up at 4, go to sleep at 1, wake up again at 3, but from 3 on, I'm much less energetic. All right, I do good things. Let's not boast, but I know already what I've learned today, this morning, and what I will finish later. I read Alonim. I don't miss a minyan. I read about the Reb Meshulam David Soloveitchik. I have a whole schedule, Baruch Hashem. And with that all, I have a Kanayin Hara, a wonderful wife, good children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. You know, you have Nachat. I have a great-granddaughter named after Malka's mother, and she calls Malka to wish her Shabbat Shalom every Friday, a little two-year-old girl. So, minhat nachas, but you have to have time. And then all the questions I get, poor Yomo, I dictate this email, that email, but we try to keep the ship moving. How we're going to solve the draft problem is beyond me. Everything else I could see solutions, compromise, and I also go with the attitude, not everything can we accomplish. We have to leave something for Mashiach Tzidkenu. But the draft problem is real, tangible, right in front of us. So nichye v'nireh, we will watch the others. We pay our taxes. We're entitled to a good Broadway show from our government.
The story about giving lectures on how to sit at a formal dinner in Chul reminds me of the Rav going from Faslovich to Berlin.
Okay, could be. I don't know. He probably had to take formal lectures to conduct himself. And you know what Rakefet says? This was the big shock in his life. In Warsaw, he saw Agudas Yisrael's given in a shtibel, mit a shtickel herring, mit a kichel, mit a shtickel breit. That was the end of it. And you ate it all with your hands. Comes to Berlin, there's Agudas Yisrael when they sit down to eat. Three forks, two knives, two spoons. Wow, wow. And that had that he was a real Agudist in the 30s because he saw in Berlin you could be big in Torah and be part of the Western world. It was the dream unfolding for him. And that was the difference from one Aguda to another Aguda. All right, but leave that for the Monday class. As you'll see tomorrow, not always was it B'Shalom U'V'Shalva. All right, until we meet again in health and happiness, Das V'Danya. I want to thank Jack Levenstein and Yomo. They put the Sheyurim up the same day, and Jack writes a whole summary. And Baruch Hashem, we're a little closer to one day indexing all the Sheyurim, so I'll be able to answer when people ask me, where did you say this, where did you say that? I'll say, check the index, and there it is. Till we meet again in health and happiness, Das V'Danya.